Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Here we are on today's Connecting Faith. Glad to have you listening. I'm Neil Stavem, Ryan Thomas there at the controls, and Grace Rank with the phones, and looking forward to a great hour ahead. And invite you to join the conversation with us as well, and happy day after St. Patrick's Day to you, Ryan.
Well, same to you, sir.
Didn't really make much difference. I did have my wife brought home a piece of like kind of green marshmallow cream pie or something.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
That she'd gotten at work, so yeah. I mean, it was, there was, I'm sure, no nutritional value in it, but it was quite tasty. So.
Well, I'm sure that St. Patrick would have been honored by that consumption.
That may be something to question, I suppose. But so I want to just say thank you again for your, as a listening family, for your generosity. You know, we're coming up to our spring fundraiser, the spring share, but it has been just so encouraging to see the outflow of support, the ongoing support, people just giving generously week in and week out, month in and month out. And it just means a lot to us that you are valuing what you're hearing on Faith Radio, the great, the relevant Bible teaching and the family preaching, the family-focused teaching and programs, you know, like this that provide great guests and great topics that help you apply biblical principles to daily life. And I think that'll be the case for today. As we bring you our broadcast, we're on the campus of the University of Northwestern St. Paul, and our guest today actually hung out here for a while.
He did?
Back in his probably formative years, I'm thinking. I think he probably formed things pretty well by then, but he got a start in Christian higher education at Northwestern College. And as of the last, 7, 8 years or so, he's been professor of engineering and physics at California Baptist University.
Goodness.
This is why we didn't relate back in his days at Northwestern, because as I told him on the air, I told Alex I got into radio so I wouldn't have to do math or think. And so, well, maybe not think. Alex Chediak, author, speaker, and professor of engineering and physics, California Baptist University. Been involved mentoring students for many years, and written a number of articles, and speaks on radio, and has joined us to talk about his new book. We had him on a while back to talk about his book Thriving at College, which is a great resource, and he's just written a new one called Preparing Your Teens for College, dealing with faith, friends, finances, and much more. And part of the reason he wrote this is because when he was on with me and all the other radio interviews he did talking about thriving at college, the first question was, how do you prepare your kids for college? So he decided, I should write a book on that. Alex, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Thanks for having me back, Neil. Appreciate it.
We're looking forward to the conversation today. And I should say, you know, if you're listening today, we'd love to have you join the conversation. We do have 4 copies of the book to give away, and it will be a great resource for you. And I know that even Northwestern is doing a number of visit days this spring, and so you might be in that situation. Your kids are planning on their trips to go see some schools. This would be just a wonderful resource. But it's really more than that, because it will help you as a parent to really engage in conversations that matter with your kids. So if you'd like to join in the conversation, the number is 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Or, of course, you can always go to myfaithradio.com, then click on Connecting Faith and use the email link there. But, Alex, let's talk a little bit about this, because the book is really centered around key conversations. And as I was looking it over, it seems like these engagements with parents and their teens are really critical, regardless of, whether students choose to pursue higher education.
Right, exactly, Neil. I mean, I wrote the book so that parents could help raise their teens to have the faith, character, and maturity to be successful whatever they did after college, after high school. And so, yeah, whether they go to a 2-year school, 4-year school, trade school, apprenticeship, military, you name it, it's really about being successful in life, honoring God with your work, honoring God with your finances, with your relationships, with being intentional and being responsible and being mature. So it's really more of a kind of a life coach manual, if you will. Yeah.
Did you, you've been a professor now for a number of years. Is this something that it came out of sort of your personal experience as the students come into your office and they say, Professor, I don't really know what to do, or why am I here, or, did it come out of a lot of those experiences?
Yeah, well, I was observing a couple of realities that were in the economy and in the college life in general. More people are going to college than ever before. The enrollment rate is up 80% since 1980. So that's huge growth in enrollment. The percentage of high school graduates going on to a four-year school is growing. Of course, the expense of a four-year school is growing. The importance of having some post-high school training is growing. If you look at what they call the earnings premium for either an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree, that number is growing. The amount of extra money you can make per year if you have something beyond high school to your name. So that was growing. So that's why people are going to college, because they realize the economy is requiring them to have more skills. So they're going to college, but they're not ready. A lot of a lot of the growth in enrollment is coming from students who are not as academically and developmentally prepared, in my view, to be successful. And that's why we're seeing we have the highest college dropout rate in the industrial world, where 44% of those who start a four-year college don't graduate in 6 years, and 71% of those who start off at two-year colleges don't finish in 3 years. So you can imagine all those people still have to pay the bills. They have to pay back those loans, and they're going into the job market without having that diploma that they were hoping to have, and this is a problem. So I wrote it really to help parents get their kids ready, because I thought that really what happens before the kid arrives at college is what gives him or her the greatest likelihood of being successful at college.
We talked about high cost, and you need it for work, but the economy is kind of lackluster as well. So that, that sort of adds more of a element of a bind, isn't it? When kids get out with big bills, but no jobs.
Right. The flip side is it's even worse if you don't have a college, if you don't have an associate's or bachelor's. So if you have it, if you graduated college, your chance of getting a job is substantially higher than if you didn't go to college. But it's still not that great for new graduates. So as the economy recovers, hopefully that will change. But overall, college graduates' unemployment rate is only about 4%. So it's really I think there is a weak economy, but it's disproportionately harder on young graduates and those who haven't gone to college at all.
Are you still bullish about about higher education in general? I mean, obviously, you're teaching in a area, in a field that it seems like would have a huge upside potential.
Well, here's what I would say. Not everyone needs to go to a four-year college. Some of them should go to associate's programs or trade schools, apprenticeships. We do have a lack of – there are job openings in the skilled fields of work like welding, electrician work. So hands-on labor – skilled hands-on labor is in demand. So if someone's interests and passions and talents are such that they'd be better prepared, that they'd be more successful in one of those areas, I would say go for it. So not everyone needs to go to a four-year college. The other thing I would say is you shouldn't overpay for a four-year college, because that you go to college is more crucial than where you go to college. I think a lot of times we sort of have this view as Americans that I want to be able to brag about where my kid went, and so I'm willing to spend $50,000 a year to say that he or she went to fill in the blank, right? And you want to be able to kind of brag about your kids, but really, what you're paying for is not that. At that point, it's not worth it. So you got to ask yourself, if I can pay $50,000 for a product or pay $10,000 a year for a product, is the $50,000 product really that much better? And I think too many times we're willing to borrow too much money for something that, while being worthwhile, is not worth what you're actually paying for it. So we all have that sense when we buy a house, for example. We don't want to overpay for a house. With college, though, because it's so easy to borrow money, it's easy to have that distorted, because we can pay a lot for something, and really someone else is paying for most of it. So we're not as sensitive to price. The third point I would make is we should borrow, if we're going to borrow for college at all, and not everyone needs to, and it's great if you don't have to, and if you don't want to, don't. But if you are going to borrow for college, make it relative to future earnings. So an engineer who graduates with $40,000 in debt is probably better off than an elementary education teacher who graduates with $15,000 in debt, because the engineer has a position to earn more money. I'm thinking of a young man right now who came from a lower-income family, and his parents told him, don't go to college because you can't afford it. And he ended up borrowing $50,000, got a degree, but he's in computers. He's making over $100,000 now. So I think it's all about debt relative to future earnings, and really only going if you're going to benefit from it. Go if you're going to graduate. Go if you have the skills and the interest and the passion and the discipline to make it through to the other side.
Which are the things that you talk a lot about in this book. I mean, it's really kind of several areas, right? It's character, it's faith, and it's a willingness to delay gratification. I mean, those are things that I guess all of us should learn and master regardless of our age or our educational experience.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and that makes all the difference in the world. I've seen students come into college with a high SAT score or ACT score, but they haven't learned how to study. They haven't learned how to work. Maybe their high school was too easy for them. Maybe that was part of the problem. So they get into college, and they're taking all harder classes, and they think, well, this is great. I'm only going to class for 15 hours a week. In high school, I was there 6 hours a day, 7 hours a day. So I'm going to play the rest of the time. I'm going to, you know, play sports, play video games, goof around in the dorm, have a great time. And it's great to make friends at college. And I'm all for having good relational times. But I've seen students who didn't learn how to discipline themselves. So they stay up all night before a paper's due or before a test is due. And it only works for so long. Eventually they burn out, their grades go down, and they get into problems. So, yeah, really character has a greater role in future success than SAT score or ACT score, in my view, in my experience.
Alex Chediak is my guest today. Alex has written a new book called Preparing Your Teens for College. And as we've just sort of touched on a few things, we'll dive into more deeply. The subtitle is Dealing with Faith, Friends, Finances, and Much More. This is a great, helpful resource from Tyndale. And Alex Chediak is a professor at California Baptist University in engineering and physics and is joining us today. By the way, he'll be, for those in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, he's coming to the area in late April, and we'll tell you about that a little bit more as we go along. Love to have you join the conversation. We do have some copies of the book to give away. If you want to just talk about sort of helping your teens with some very important conversations around character and discipline and delayed gratification, all those things, love to get into that with you at 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. More with Alex Chediak in a moment.
It's encouragement and hope for your daily journey.
I think life is difficult enough, and it's really good when your day is going wrong or when your day is going right that you can either rejoice with what you're listening to or hold on to what you're listening to. And I have two small children, and it makes a difference to them. It changes my day, and it changes my life, and it strengthens my walk with the Lord, and I want to show and model that to my children.
Connecting your faith to your everyday life. Thanks for growing with us on Faith Radio.
When hard times come, we can either rely on our own ingenuity or we can exercise our trust in God. Tuesday, Alistair Begg describes a few biblical scenes of confident faith in action. We're learning to fix our eyes on Jesus, on Truth for Life with Alistair
Begg. Tune in Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. on Faith Radio.
It's 18 past the hour, and the students today are looking forward to that adventure in the great unknown, or maybe they're not. Maybe they're unprepared. We're talking about preparing your teens for college, but it's really as much about preparing them for life, because we're going to talk about some of the important conversations around issues of character and faith and relationships and finances and academics and all those things summarized well in the new book from Alex Chediak. It's called The Preparing Your Teens for College. It's published by Tyndale. And Alex has several degrees in engineering and material sciences and worked as an engineer for a number of years. He taught for a while at Northwestern College, and he's been a professor of engineering physics at California Baptist University for a number of years, and we're happy to have him back on Connecting Faith with us today. And we welcome your calls at 877-93-FAITH. And Alex, as you talk about in the book, you lay out some of these conversations, and I'm interested, I guess, to know if in a previous generation, did parents, were they having these conversations, or were there enough sort of maybe societal pressures that covered a young person's growth into adulthood, you know, whether it was relationships or, disciplines or those things? I mean, do we need more, I guess, maybe hands-on attention for our students today?
I think we need more hands-on attention for a couple of reasons. First of all, on the issue of faith, for example, a generation ago, our society was more accepting of Christianity and more promoting at least Christian principles in the broader culture. So the reduction or decline of Christianity in society means that parents have to work harder to help their teens own the faith before they go to college. And secondly, because more people are going to college, and every high school graduate probably needing to do something to develop their skills and to be successful, I think it requires us to be more intentional with those students. I mean, in the 1970s, you could have a high school, you graduate high school, get a job, and work the rest of your life and make good money. That's harder and harder to do nowadays. So the fact that more people are going to be needing to get a diploma, a degree, an associate's degree, a certificate, maybe a trade school degree, means that we have to help them find their calling, find the intersection of their gifts and their interests, their talents and their skills and their passions during the high school years so that they can make an informed decision as to what to do when they graduate. So I think we do have to be more intentional. There is more onus on us as parents today than there has been in the past.
You're talking about, you know, helping us sort of find that sort of center of where, how God has gifted us or equipped
right.
us. But, you know, it seems like we've spent a lot of time sort of on personal self-esteem, but are students really, are we adequately self-aware today, do you think?
I don't think so. One of the things I find very interesting about college students today is that they have a very high view of their abilities. American students are very confident about their intelligence, about their competence, and it's not. I have no problem with students thinking having a good self-esteem. I don't want students to beat up themselves and to feel like they're going to fail and that kind of thing, because that can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you think you're going to fail, you probably will. On the flip side, though, if you think you're great or you think you're really good at something, you expect it to come easily. And if you expect something to come easily, you don't work hard at it, which makes you less likely to succeed and more likely to be surprised and disappointed when you don't. And so you're more likely to stumble and fail and then be discouraged by it. So I think it's unhealthy, the degree to which students come into college assuming that it's going to be easy. What I find more is high expectations drive high performance. If you tell students, I expect you to do this, this, and this, and I'm going to challenge you to do this, this, and this, and I'm going to teach you and train you so that you can do this. The tests are going to be hard, but I will work hard to get you ready. Class starts at 8 o'clock, and you will be here at 8 o'clock. That's what I expect of you. If you don't, here are the consequences. Students then rise to those expectations, and then so high expectations drive high performance, and then when the students do perform well, then they objectively have an objectively justified self-esteem. Then they go out and say, you know what, I really did learn that well, and I'm really glad I did, and it took a lot of work, but I'm proud of it now. I have a sense of satisfaction that comes from accomplishing something rather than just feeling good about who I am and how good I am apart from any objective accomplishment, if that makes sense.
Sure. Now let's take a call here. Eric is listening in Bemidji and has a question for Alex Chediak. Go ahead, Eric. You're on with Alex.
Oh, boy, I suppose I've got a couple things I could ask, but we'll try to confine it here.
Right.
But unfortunately, my 16-year-old son is somewhat like me in that certain things come easily, and so therefore we kind of tend to mail it in. But I'm kind of concerned, because he also is like me in this way, we're more of a kinesthetic type of learner, where we learn by doing. And so in the situation of my son, he's his grades are not, they're certainly not the best because he doesn't really apply himself. But I also think he has a learning disability. And so with all that, those little smatterings of information, I'm just, and I really do think he would benefit from college. I'm just kind of wondering what direction we might go in trying to help prepare him for the future.
What you might do, Eric, is sit down with him with a college catalog and talk about different tracks or concentrations or majors that are out there, but also look at trade schools and associate programs and just tease them out. Would those be interesting to him? I think sometimes I've met college students who have been unsuccessful in engineering. Engineering is a very demanding major, and I teach only engineering students, so that's something that I see a lot of. Students who go into engineering because they want their parents to think well of them, or they want to make a lot of money. Neither one of them is a great motivation. So they kind of go in without a good sense of who they are. They want to do engineering because they heard it's prestigious or their parents are going to be proud of them. And then they fail physics, calculus, a couple other classes, and then they're not sure. What they really like to do, though, is something hands-on. Maybe it's working with cars or working with engines or working with airplanes, all of which are good lines of work that I've actually had students go into those lines of work and be very happy and very successful because that's really who they were. So I would sit down with Eric and give him the full picture of, okay, if you can go to a four-year college and study something like this, you can get an associate's in something like this, you can go to a trade school and do something like this, lay out the whole gamut of options for him and start to talk to him over a period of months about what excites him and where his interests, where his talents may be. If something seems interesting to him, can you find him a way so that he can try it out now? Is there something he could do now to try out how much he likes, say it's fixing cars or maybe it is math or science? Is there a hands-on science class that he could take that would have him doing more experiments and doing more things rather than listening to a teacher all the time? Try to find him something that would work for him and give him a taste of a future major or a future career.
That's good. Eric, thanks for the call and appreciate you listening. And again, if you want to sign up, make sure you can get a copy of Alex's book, Preparing Your Teens for College. We've got four copies to give away at 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH. Alex, it's true, though. I guess, I mean, as much as we talk about different learning styles, and Eric mentioned, his son, kind of learns maybe not so much in books and paper. It seems like higher education is still sort of centered around, doing papers and reports and those kinds of things.
Yeah, that is true at most four-year schools. Some programs, like engineering, for example, we're getting more hands-on and changing the way we do some of our classes to let students learn by doing a little more. One thing I've done as a professor is I've done sometimes where I do a lab before instructing the students on the concepts that are in the lab. I just say, go try this, this, and this, and see what you learn. And then the next day I talk about it. So then that way, instead of giving them theory before reality, they do reality, and then we do theory. And that works for some students because they like to see it and discover it. And then when they learn it in class, they say, oh, that's why the lab came out that way. So I think you can talk to college deans and department chairs and say, how do you do your pedagogy? How do you do your curriculum? Because some schools are moving towards more of this, what we call more balanced or a more hands-on student-centered approach, letting the student discover the principles and then kind of teaching them as they're learning it on their own, so to speak. It often has great results, but students remember it much better than if I just tell them the answer.
Just trying to decide if, Ryan, if we spend time more on reality or theory. I think we're kind of missing on both of those in most of the shows, aren't we?
It's very kinetic,
sure.
I would say, though.
All right. We're going to talk more with Alex Chediak in just a moment. In fact, Amy had a question about staying connected to her daughter when she goes off to college, and we're talking about some of the important conversations that need to take place so that we can better prepare our teens for college. That's the title of the new book from Alex Chediak. Whether it's faith, friends, finances, relationships, academics, all those things. Love to have you join the conversation, too. You're welcome to call us at 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Alex Chediak is author, speaker, and professor of engineering and physics at California Baptist University. Been involved in mentoring students for many years and has written a great book that we talked to him not too long ago, the best-selling book called Thriving at College from Tyndale, and this is now a new one called Preparing Your Teens for College, because oftentimes there's a lot of work that needs to be done ahead of time to make those experiences in college years successful. So more with Alice Chediak, and we'll take your calls, all that coming up in just a moment, right here on Connecting Faith. That's the question. Will our kids remember us when they head off to school? We're going to talk about that in a moment and get to Alex's perspective as we talk with Alex Chediak, author of the new book called Preparing Your Teens for College. The subtitle is dealing with faith, friends, finances, and much more. It's published by Tyndale. Alex actually has several degrees. He spent some time here in their apprenticeship at Bethlehem College and Seminary and taught Christian higher education at Northwestern College for a while, and for the past 7-8 years or so, he's been professor of engineering and physics at California Baptist University. Has been a regular on programs like Focus on the Family and Family Life Today. He was on Everyday Relationships not too long ago, and we're happy to have him on with us here on Connecting Faith. Alex, one of the issues you address in the book is about issues of taking initiative. And before we get back to our calls, I say a little bit about that, because it does seem like our culture is quite happy to have us be 30-year-old adolescents.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's incumbent upon parents to give their teens a big vision of adult life, a positive vision, to see the teen years as basically apprenticeships for adulthood, and helping them see, okay, you are biologically male, a man or a woman, and you're not ready to go into the world as a man or a woman yet, but it's our job to train you for that and prepare you for that. So in so doing, we as your parents are going to be your instead of controlling, be a, excuse me, we're going to coach you and mentor you instead of trying to treat you like a child. I think it's very easy as parents to want our kids to stay young because we like the days in which they're, you know, that their mind isn't going to question us as much, that they're maybe going to do what they're told to do, and they're not going to kind of be their own person. It's easy to treat a teen as if they're a child. And I think helping your teen to take initiative is about stepping back into a role of a coach and a mentor instead of controlling. And instead of trying to protect them from everything, we do want to protect them, but we don't want to protect them at the expense of stunting their development as adults and preventing them from cultivating their own sense of responsibility. So what I guess what I'm saying is avoiding the helicopter parenting technique where we kind of step in and do things for them. Developing their initiative is telling them, you know what, you're responsible to start for more areas of your life now. We're going to give you more freedoms, but we're going to expect more responsibility in exchange. We're going to expect you to get your homework done without being told to do it. We're going to expect you maybe to take more of a burden around the house. Maybe you're going to have more chores to do around here, and you have to do them without being reminded. Helping them to be a self-starter, helping them to be somebody who is kind of self-directed and does the right thing because they know it's right instead of just being told to do it. So I think that it takes years to develop it, but it's about coaching and mentoring and not so much controlling and protecting, if that makes sense.
Sure. Well, and I guess the other option is not to doesn't lead to much success, does it? I mean, if we just, in fact, that maybe ties into Amy's question. She called in 877-93-FAITH. She says, my daughter is a senior. Says, how can we stay involved in her life and encourage her in her studies without being a nag when she goes off to college? She doesn't want to be a helicopter parent. So what can you tell Amy?
Right. I think helping her develop the right habits before she goes and encouraging her when you see her doing things right, when you see her doing the right thing for the right reason, praise, because that'll reinforce that kind of behavior and that kind of motivation. So speak to her heart and train her heart to want to do the right thing for the right reason, and then step back and applaud her and coach her and celebrate her successes. When she makes mistakes, and we all do, let the natural consequences be a good teacher. So the small mistakes that a teen makes, either in the home or their first year away at college, are often much less consequential than the kinds of mistakes they can make years later. And if we let the natural consequences do their work, they can be a good teacher help them to avoid making bigger mistakes later, because they learn from the consequences of the smaller mistakes they make now. I'll give you an example of a student who, a friend of mine, who got into credit card debt I think it was his sophomore year in college, a few thousand dollars. His parents stepped in and paid for it, the whole thing. And he now regrets that because he didn't learn, and years later he went into debt by $30,000 on credit cards. So he looks back and says, had my parents not done that for me, I would have learned my lesson earlier at much less cost. So I think sometimes in desiring to protect our kids from failure or from negative consequences, we actually do them harm. Whereas if they suffer a little bit, it won't kill them. It'll just make them stronger for the future.
But I suppose, you know, when it comes to parental concern, I mean, we do have concerns. As students go off, they, you know, maybe we hear all the statistics, they're walking away from faith, or they're getting involved in, you know, physical relationships, and that, I mean, those are, you know, have maybe bigger danger signs than
right.
that.
Right, exactly. You're right. And I think it is appropriate to protect our kids from developing sinful habits. It is appropriate to protect our teens from excessive temptation, and it is appropriate to protect our teens from failures that would have long-term and long-lasting implications. So on all those fronts, we do have to protect our kids in those areas. I think what we need to assess is how big are the consequences. If the consequences are small and short-term, well, then that can be good instruction for them. I'll give you an example of a parent who allowed their teen to buy something. It was an electronic device of some sort. I don't remember which one. But they spent all their money on an electronic device that wouldn't be lasting more than a few months. It was an unwise purchase. But they let their child do that with their own money. The kid spent their money on it and learned later on, said, you know, I shouldn't have bought that. Now I wasted all my money. I don't have any money now. And, well, okay, now you learn from it. Now you have to work some more hours to make some more money to buy something else that you need. But you did something unwise financially, and it had short-term consequences. It didn't have life-altering consequences. It didn't have devastating consequences. So I think you're absolutely right, Neil. We have to assess the severity of the consequences in terms of our prohibitions and our protection.
Which brings us to one of the other kind of themes that runs through your book. It's about the delayed gratification. I mean, mm-hmm. talk about why that's such a key component to, you know, not only life at college, but life in general.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to help teens say, look at people who are successful in any field of work, whether it's athletics, academics, music. Every one of those people has had to delay gratification. They've had to have moments where they said, you know what, I would love to go play right now, but I know I need to study or practice. And they do what they don't want to do at a given moment so that they can become what they want to become someday. And that ability to say no to a short-term pleasure because you're looking at something long-term, that's a very biblical. I mean, we're told that in the Bible to resist temptation. Because what sin normally does for us is sin appeals to our immediate desires and says, okay, you can have this right now. Just disobey God, and you can have that right now, and it'll be good for you. And we have to learn to say, you know what, it might seem good to me now, but it's going to hurt me later, and I'm trusting God that I know it's going to hurt me later, and God has the best things for me later. So I'm going to obey now, even though it's painful, because God's got something for me in the future. So I mean that applies to moral, being morally pure in high school when you have temptation sexually and saying no to that. It applies to doing your homework before the next day because you want to be well prepared for class. So being able to control your desires and delay gratification is important for success in every field of life.
Alex Chediak is my guest today. We're talking about preparing your teens for college, but it really is about preparing your teens for life in general, as we deal with faith, friends, finances, and more. And let's go to Dan. He's on line one, a call from Hugo. Dan, you're on with Alex. Go ahead.
Hi, I appreciate you taking the call. This is a common topic as we have kids that are in this teenage phase and moving forward. The guidance I'm looking for is that we do talk about this, but it's different between my wife and I in terms of the level of hovering and the level of mentoring and coaching. Do you have any guidance on how to reconcile these differences just, you know, with this topic between parents?
You mean the wife is more involved than the dad or vice versa, that kind of thing?
Right. That's sort of the slant that ends up happening is there might be more involvement on her side and, you know, hovering on her side, and I don't want to get into all the details of it, but just is there some tools that you have for parents in reconciling and how to do the mentoring and coaching?
That's a good question.
Yeah. I think that's a great question. I think maybe when you're out with your wife on a evening, just the two of you, a good topic to talk about is how your teen's developing, and maybe you talk about what do they need the most. One thing my wife and I do is when we see a character flaw in our child or something that we'd like to improve, we've learned to discuss it between the two of us to have a common strategy, because otherwise I'll react one way, and she'll have another impression, and she'll be reacting another way, and then we're sending a mixed message to our child about this area. And so what we try to do is get on a united front in terms of what do we think our kid needs the most here, and then how can we deliver it. Maybe in terms of the pragmatics of it, maybe she would be the one who would instruct in a certain way, or she's going to be the one who implements it, or you're going to be the one who implements it, but you both have the strategy that you've set together in conversation in advance. So I think these things are very fluid because, you know, situations change and they evolve. But I think having regular times with your wife where you can talk about each of your children and think about what they most need and pray for them together can unite your hearts in terms of how you're going to best try to shepherd them in that area.
And I would assume, I guess, Alex, that the more you can give them responsibility, I mean, in a good way, I mean, protecting them, but giving them a responsibility, I mean, the more that they can learn, whether it's, you know, whether it's washing their clothes or, you know, just doing homework or teaching, you know, youth Sunday school class or something, that those things really do pay benefits, don't they?
Yeah, a couple of thoughts. Yeah, more freedom always has to come with more responsibility. So, yes, you can, for example, maybe you can stay out a little longer on the weekend, but now we expect you to have more chores on the house, whether it's your own laundry, or maybe you're going to help more around the lawn care or laundry or the meals, the family meals. You're going to have more responsibilities, but you're going to have more freedoms as well. So that way they learn with more responsibility comes more accountability. We're not going to breathe down your neck to do your homework, but we're expecting you to keep up your scores and your tests and your papers. The other way to think about it is with teens, you're more looking for influence than control, because their heart is being formed. Their adult individual bent and disposition and motivation and preferences and values, that's all being formed. So you want to influence that instead of trying to control it, because you can't control it. You realize in a few years they're going to be out on their own and able to do the things that their heart wants to do. So you want to influence that heart as it's developing. And so part of that is, I distinguish in the book, in preparing your teens for college, I talk about positional authority versus moral authority. And positional authority is God-given. You're a parent. You are in the position of authority. But moral authority is something that we really have to keep earning with our kids. Moral authority is what gives us influence at their heart. Moral authority is when they see that we have their best interests in mind. So I think it's important with teens, and I've learned this with students, to keep on appealing to them and to help them realize that you have their best interest at heart, that if they behave in this way, these will be the results. If you keep on blowing off your homework, you will have negative results. If you keep on staying up too late, you'll be exhausted in class and you won't be successful. Whatever. You help them see that when you're instructing them, when you're guiding them, when you're coaching them, you're doing it not as a power trip, but because you genuinely have their fruitfulness, their flourishing, their success is what your concern is. So then they see that mom and dad have my best interest. I may not always agree with them, but you know what? They have my best interest, and I probably should defer to them, not just now, but when I go to college, I'll remember what they said when I'm in college, because I know that they loved me and they want the best for me. And that's what really gives us the influence into their college years.
Alex Chediak is a speaker and a professor of engineering and physics at California Baptist University, best-selling author of Thriving at College, published a number of articles in Christian College Guide and Boundless, and he's been done lots of radio, and including been on Connecting Faith in the past, and he's joining us today to talk about his new book, Preparing Your Teens for College. And in a moment, we'll talk more about you know, how do we help with our kids when they're supposed to take classes? You know, what good will this class really do me? Help them find friends when they head off to college and some of those things. We'll get to those questions and more. Welcome you to join the conversation as well. We got four copies of the book, Preparing Your Teens for College, to give away at 877-933-2484. It's 877-933-2484.
How would you describe Faith Radio?
It's inspiring.
It really challenges me.
It gives me that nudge I need in the right direction.
We'd be honored to hear why you listen and why you'd recommend Faith Radio to friends and loved ones. It's simple to share your story. Just call our Faith Line and leave a message with your story. The number is 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-93-FAITH. Then press 2 for the Faith Line. And thank you for sharing your story on the Faith Radio Faith Line.
That feeling comes with a phone call you didn't expect.
That feeling as the news sinks in.
About the surprise diagnosis or the financial curveball. And in that moment, it's hard not to feel alone.
To wonder how you're going to deal with it all.
Be encouraged today. You don't have to go through it alone.
There's a whole community of friends ready to encourage you and pray for your situation. It's called PrayerWorks.
An online, completely anonymous source of inspiration and hope.
Find PrayerWorks at myfaithradio.com.
Well, it's 48 past the hour. Talking today with Alex Chediak about his new book called Preparing Your Teens for College. It's just new from Tyndale. Just came out. Alex, author and speaker, professor of engineering and physics at California Baptist University, and has joined us again today to just give us some wise insight and advice. Alex, one of the issues, you spent some time talking about relationships, but I thought we should focus a little bit on even friendships, you know, helping kids connect with new friends when they go off in a new situation. If they haven't really been intentional about it, it doesn't always happen so easily. And of course, as parents, we know that friends are pretty influential.
Right. I think intentionality is super important. I think sometimes if you come from a great Christian background, you take for granted Christian friendships. You had a youth group, you had a church, and that was an important source of strength in your life, but you hadn't thought about it. You hadn't appreciated it. It's sort of like they say, you don't know what you have until it's gone, kind of thing. Then you get to maybe a secular campus, and it's easy to just go with the flow and find friends, you know, in the dorm or people who call you. You respond to them, and you're kind of passive about the process. And a month goes by, and you realize, well, I don't have the friends here at college that I had in high school. So I think it's important before a teen goes to college, help them realize the impact of friendships, the fact that friendships shape our character. Who we spend the most time around is who we become like. I think Proverbs 13:20 says that whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So helping them realize, helping them become aware of just how influential friendships are gives them a motivation to be intentional about finding the right kind of friends, because the friends that they find, the friends that they cling to, are going to be the ones that influence them. And it doesn't mean they can't evangelize. Evangelism is important in friendships, but I think it's more important that a teen first has close friendships that support their faith. Because if they just try to be a Lone Ranger missionary on a college campus, they're going to get lost. That happens over and over again. They first need to have a strong group, a core group, if you will, that strengthens them, that sharpens them, and then they have the wherewithal, the maturity, the resilience to go impact non-Christians in a positive way.
That's probably where, I mean, again, parents can have a role in that too. And I think we've talked in the past about even, you know, checking in with those, you know, ministries on campus before your kids head out to campus. Say, hey, my son or daughter's coming. I want to make sure you connect with them when they get there.
Yeah, that, and also helping your teen to do that for him or herself.
Yeah.
Showing them how to do it, and then encouraging them to do it themselves. So that way, when they get to the college, they already know I'm going to be trying to find Adam and Sarah or whoever, you already have names and faces that you've maybe talked to on the internet and Facebook or whatnot, and then when you're there, you know that you can look for them. That helps a lot because those first habits of a freshman makes, those first 4 or 6 weeks, are very influential on the rest of that whole year.
I was going to ask a question about, you know, how do we help our kids in the high school prep time take the courses that they need to take? I mean, I think we often ask, you know, well, am I ever going to use this again? Why am I reading Macbeth or whatever it is? But it sort of fits in with Sharon's question. She called in and says, my granddaughter has an opportunity to take college courses while in high school. Does Alex think this is a good thing to do?
Yes. Definitely do that, because with taking college courses when you're in high school, you actually make college much more affordable. You can even get, if you can get half a semester or even a whole semester out of the way, it's that much thousands of dollars that you're saving towards their cost of higher education. But not only that, but you're helping your teen to expose them to the rigors of college coursework. You're helping to expose them to the different subjects of college coursework, and maybe you're helping them become more affirmed in their choice of major. About 25% of freshmen don't make it to their sophomore year in college. A lot of it's because they haven't gotten used to the academic rigor of college work. If they can get used to that before they go to college, they're that much they're that much farther ahead. But the second point is that the more they know what they're going to major in, the less likely they are to change majors, the more likely they are to graduate in 4 years. Most students now graduate in 5 years, and which is a lot more expensive, obviously. But a lot of it's because they didn't know what they wanted to major in. And that's fine. Sometimes it's okay to change majors. I'm not saying you can't do that. You can. But because of the finances involved in taking another year of college, it helps if you can go into college with as much knowledge about yourself as possible. So taking college-level classes in high school gives you a sense of, you know what, yeah, I really do love math, or I really do love history, I really do love English. And it helps you choose a major with more awareness. So that all that's good.
But in taking courses that, you know, I guess we wonder, I liked what you said in the book. I think it's not so much about maybe what we get out of the course, but what the course helps us find out about ourselves.
Right. I think high school education is transformative in the sense that the material you learn shapes you, and you learn how to love God with your mind. I think what we can do as parents is three things. First of all, model the goodness of work to our kids in the way we act towards and talk about our responsibilities. If we talk to our teens about our jobs as if they're a drag, as if we hate it, as if we see it as disconnected from our faith, that's not helpful for our children, because we want to teach our children that, you know what, God created work, and it's glorious to do good work to His glory. And by doing good work on the job, we're actually serving our neighbors and loving our neighbors. So if our kids can learn to have a positive view of the goodness of work, that then is step one. Step two is help them see, you know what, schoolwork is your God-appointed work. God has called you to be a student, and that means when you're in class, you have a chance to glorify God by giving it your best, by loving Him with all your mind, and by applying your mind to history or math or science or whatever. Even if you don't like that subject, it's okay, because you're going to strengthen your brain in certain ways that are going to prepare you for things down the road in ways you cannot anticipate right now. So that work's going to train you. I mean, I've taught physics to people who hate physics, and I tell them, you know what, it's okay if you never take physics again for the rest of your life. That's fine. What matters is that you give it your best now, and it's going to make you a sharper person for whatever you do later on. And helping them to find enjoyment, third step, helping them find enjoyment in the learning process is so crucial. Rather than getting so hung up on their grade, helping them enjoy the learning and then allowing their grade to be a byproduct. And their grade can actually be an influencer in what they go into. If they get a bad grade in that subject, then that is helpful in the sense that they know that they're not that good at that subject, and maybe they should go into a different subject when they get to college. And when they go to college, they can choose more what they're going to study. In high school, you have less choice, but in college, you'll have more choice. So let high school do its work by teaching you how to think, by making you a student who loves learning, and by giving you a sense of what you're good at and what you're not good at, so that you can make wise choices after high school.
I know that you love talking about this, and you've been coaching and mentoring many students that come through your door, and as you have an opportunity to speak, and now you're going to be, for those listening in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, you're coming to the area here April 25 and 26
at the Twin Cities Chinese Christian Church. So if you go on the internet and look for that, Twin Cities Chinese Christian Church, that's where I'll be. You can register for the conference right there.
And what happens at a event like that? I mean, are there sort of typical questions that, or maybe the one question that we've got a couple minutes left that you hear most often?
Well, we're going to actually speak with teens in one session. We're going to speak with parents in one session, and we're going to speak to both of them in a third session. And then we're going to have a question and answer time. I think we get a lot of questions about how does a parent stay involved in their teen as they're going to college. The question we had earlier, that question comes up a lot. And helping the teen figure out what they want to major in, and encouraging the teen that it's really their choice and they shouldn't just be doing something because they think their mom or dad want them to do it. I think that's a common question as well. And that's what we'll talk about at the conference.
Good. And we'll have a link up. Your website is alexchediak.com, right?
Right. Exactly right.
It's spelled C-H-E-D-I-A-K, alexchediak.com. And you can click on speaking there, and you can there'll be a link there. You'll find out more information on that. Alex is a great resource. I know it's going to be helpful to a number of people, and this has been our discussion today. And I appreciate your willingness to help point the way and maybe ease some of those potholes in the road.
Well, thanks for having me, Neil. It was a pleasure, and I appreciate you having me back on your show.
Alex Chediak, author, speaker, and professor of engineering and physics at California Baptist University. And he's been involved in mentoring students for many years, published a number of articles in Boundless Magazine from Folks in the Family and others, and Christian College Guide from Christianity Today. Best-selling author of Thriving at College, which is also published by Tyndale House. I recommend that to you as well. And the new one is called Preparing Your Teen for College, Faith, Friends, Finances, and Much More. And again, that's published by Tyndale. And if you'd like to find out more where Alex is speaking, again, for those that would be in the Twin Cities area, he is coming at the end of April. And you can go to the website, alexchediak.com. That's Alex, C-H-E-D-I-A-K.com. Talking with us today here on Connecting Faith. If you missed part of the broadcast or like to pass it on to a friend, or maybe haven't listened to it with your teens. Might be some great discussion starters, because that's really what the book is all about, is some of those key conversations to have to not only help your kids thrive in school, but to thrive in life. And you can go to our website to check that out. It's on our show page at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. And just click on the Connecting Faith show page there, and you'll find the podcast archives. And pass it on to a friend. And then join us tomorrow. We're going to talk about highly happy marriages with Shanti Felden.